We were during the years 2015 through 2024, those 9 years, it was really my privilege to serve on the board of the North American Baptist Conference. Now, board work was never something that I really dreamed of doing with my life, but it turned out that I got to do that for 9 years. And it was truly a great experience for me, not so much because, you know, we did work that boards do, but because of the people I got to meet during those 9 years. And two of those individuals were Paul and Tanya Gehrke. And a couple of years ago, they stayed with us. They were here at Magnolia for about a week during a break of their ministry in Romania. And Leslie and I really got to know them and come now to think of them not as just co-workers, but as friends. And so Paul and Tanya arrived last night, and they arrived from Canada. So for all of you baseball fans, you know that I had my concession speech all ready to go to Paul and Tanya when they arrived at our house. I was going to congratulate them on a World Series well played, and the Blue Jays deserved to be the winners, and then it got turned on them, and they were very gracious to me as they came. So they've been doing great work in Romania over the last several years, and they are now in a transition period of their life. They were really key to developing a youth camp there called Camp Falcon Rock, a place I would love to visit at some point. And so let's welcome to Magnolia Baptist Paul and Tanya Gehrke.
Well, good morning. It is great to be here, and we want to do a few things. One is, as a Canadian and as a Blue Jays fan, congratulate all of you on the big win yesterday. That was, we landed in at LAX right as the game started, and so we had to find a place to watch the game. And so you can imagine there's Tanya and I as passive Canadians surrounded by LA Dodgers fans. And I think we went through 9 innings, and they didn't know, 11 innings? 10 innings, they didn't know that we were Blue Jay fans because we were just so quiet the whole game. And then as soon as the Dodgers won, we were out of there so fast. And I think they realized at that point that we were Blue Jays fans because we didn't stay around to celebrate. But congratulations. But no, we want to do a couple things. One is Tanya and I will share a little bit back and forth. We want to share a little bit about what God had us doing in Romania. We also want to take a moment to thank Magnolia for partnering with the ministry in Romania and continuing to partner with the ministry in Romania. When we were here a few years ago, as Pastor Mike said, we had a wonderful time visiting you all, and the church basically said, how can we come behind the ministry in Romania? And we said, there's a wonderful couple by the name of Thomas and Tunda who speak the language, are doing a phenomenal job leading the ministry, and would you support them? And so we're so thankful that you're supporting them and pray that you'll continue to do that because, man, we're going to share in a couple minutes, but God is doing incredible things in Romania through Camp Falcon Rock, through Thomas and Tunda. And so we thank you for your support on that. And then we just want to share a little bit about the work with young adults that we've been doing and land with a message. But I want to take just a brief minute to share with you a little bit about the backstory of the ministry in Romania, why we were there, what we were doing. And so as you can see in 2014, this is in Romania. This is a piece of land that's about 40 acres in Transylvania, where Dracula comes from. And this property was purchased basically in partnership with the NAB and the Hungarian Baptist Convention of Romania. And so the Hungarian Baptist Romania said, we want to raise up our next generation of young people. We lost them during communism because they have a long history of communism. And we want to do work amongst the next generation to raise them up into the next generation of ministry leaders and pastors and missionaries and just Christians and believers in our nation. And so we came together to build this camp, and that's what the camp looked like. There was a few broken down buildings that I'll show you a picture of, but there were no programs on site. There were no kids on site. It was just this barren land with a few old properties that were, some of those buildings were 100 years old. And so this was the old barn that was there, and we got there and we said, let's tear it down. And the local leadership said, nah, we can turn this into something beautiful. And it got turned into our first maintenance shed, which actually now is a cabin. It's two cabins. And so we can have about 10 people stay in that building throughout the summer. This was the one building on site. We called it the existing building. We still call it the existing building, even though we have about 10 or 15 buildings, because it was the existing building. We're very creative with our naming. But that's what it turned into. We built it very quickly to have a kitchen and washroom facilities and some bedrooms in there. This was the old potato shed, and potatoes were actually in there. And we still have potatoes in there. And that got converted into a cabin. And it's a cabin that we use in the summertime, but also pastors throughout the year can go there and stay there for free to retreat with their families. We had no cabins on site at all at Camp Falcon Rock when we were there. No place for kids to stay. And so very quickly in those first couple of years, we began to develop cabins where we can have, now we're at the place of being able to host 90 to 100 young people on site at any given time. And so yes, this was sort of the original look of the camp, and then this is what it looks like now. We are completing our main lodge, which is this building that you can see in the video. And one of the major problems we have at Camp Falcon Rock is there's too many kids that want to use it, and there's too many people that want to come out. And so we had to develop a main lodge that could host 200, 300, 400, even 1,000 people, which we've had in that building. And so that's the main lodge where we've got kitchen space, and we have dining space, and we have meeting space, and that's being worked on right now. And that's the interior of that building that's just being completed even as we speak. We've got a campfire space, which if you know about ministry, camp ministry, that's a really important space for us, is campfire. Now, let me say this. We didn't just build buildings for the sake of building buildings. Tanya and I are not builders. That's not why we went to Romania. We went to Romania to spread the good news of Jesus Christ and to see kingdom leaders grown up. And so as these buildings got built, it was all for the purpose of having youth and young adults on the campsite. And so each of these buildings we were able to use for ministry and are able to use for ministry. This past summer, we had 10 weeks of camps, which means that that's close to 1,000 young people on site just in our summertime. Throughout the year, we're running pastors' conferences. Our two seminaries, the seminary in Romania and the seminary in Hungary, meet together regularly, and the place that they choose to meet at twice a year is now Camp Falcon Rock. And so we're training up pastors to be the next generation of pastors there. We're having weddings and Thanksgiving Day services. We, in Romania, we have Thanksgiving whenever we want to. And so we just decide. It's got to be between September and November, but we just decide. And so what we do at Camp Falcon Rock is we run 2 weeks of Thanksgiving. We used to do 1 week of Thanksgiving, but we started to have 1,200 people on site, and that's too many people. So then we said, let's do 2 weeks. And so now over 2 weeks, we have 1,500 people over 2 weeks to do Thanksgiving Day services. And then throughout the year, we're not just running camp in the summer. It's a year-round ministry. And so we're running camps Christmas time. We're running camps in springtime. Certainly churches are using it throughout the year. We're running conferences and events throughout the entire year.
And so one of the main focuses of Camp Falcon Rock is we want to raise up the next generation of kingdom leaders. And so that's been a key focus for us as we've been doing this ministry, building the buildings. We also have been going out into villages in Romania because Romania is very rural. So you have hundreds and hundreds of villages of about 100 to 500 people. And a lot of the ministry of the churches are happening in those villages. And so we want to be in those villages with young people and raise them up into leaders. And so this is a snapshot of some of our leaders 11 years ago. They were young. We arrived in a village in Romania. Paul and I grew up in the city. So this was a very big change for us that we were living in a village of about 150 people. We had chickens. We had a garden. We could watch the cows walk up the road every morning to pasture and come back every evening. So very different life. But when we arrived, there were about 11 to 15 young people in our village. And when we were starting camp ministry, before we had buildings, we would go out into the villages to run VBS programs and didn't have a lot of volunteers, but had this group of young people who we were kind of forced to lean into. And in that, we saw them raise up into leaders, where they started out translating for us, holding up kind of worship lyrics. I think that's the next slide. You'll just see them there on stage. That's what they were doing for those first few years. But in that, they were discipled and mentored to become the leaders of these ministry programs that we've been doing. And now, this past summer, as we were running camp programs, two of these leaders stepped into the camp program director role, and Paul and I were just able to step back and watch them lead. And in that, not only did they run camp programs at Camp Falcon Rock, they also went out into villages. And here we can see them at a more of a town where they had over 100 kids come out to an English camp program that they ran in partnership with that local church. And so it's just been incredible to see these young people raised up. One person in particular named Miriam, she was from our village. She's now mid-20s, started out as a young girl that we were working with, didn't know a lot of English, became one of our full-time translators from an impoverished background, not a lot of opportunities for her in this culture and country, but we've seen her raised up. She's been able to be a part of the NAB Kairos program, if you're familiar with the college that the NAB runs. She was able to get her master's through that program, be trained up, and now she is continuing to run ministry as Paul and I transition back to Canada. And so we're seeing young people raised up and take over the ministry happening in Romania. So this has been really exciting to see that next generation raised up. And so kind of three things that we want to really share with you this morning is, number one, we want to celebrate with you. We want to celebrate all that God has been doing, that you have partnered in this ministry at Camp Falcon Rock, that you have come behind Thomas and Tunda, that 11 years ago when Paul and I moved to Romania and started working with Hungarian Baptist Convention, we had a five-point vision plan that we were trying to see come to life, and that is we wanted Camp Falcon Rock to be a place for evangelism, for leadership and discipleship, for it to be a connecting place, for there to be social programs, and for there to be education take place. And we're seeing that happen. And so praise God that that is happening, that God has been faithful to see this facility come to be. And so we just want to celebrate first and foremost with you what God has been doing in our midst. The second thing is we want to share with you that as we think about a good way to do missions, as we think about the philosophy of how NAB does missions, it happens through empowering local leaders. It happens through building relationship with local leaders in the country and seeing what God is already doing. That is the way that we do ministry as the NAB. And you at Magnolia have a heart for that because you've come along Thomas and Tunda. Thomas and Tunda are from Romania. They speak Hungarian and Romanian. They were appointed 11 years ago as the Camp Falcon Rock directors. Paul and I have never served in that position. We've always partnered with them. And so as we think about leaving Romania now, this is who is staying. This is who will continue the ministry. They have spent the last 11 years building their local team and are doing a phenomenal job in terms of running the programs. And so we want to say thank you. Thank you for coming alongside Thomas and Tunda and understanding that vision of how do we come alongside our local partners and empower them. We also are coming behind Miriam, who I explained earlier, and another gentleman named Robbie. They're going to be taken on as what we call NAB National Missionaries, same as Thomas and Tunda, and they're going to continue on with village ministry and hosting mission teams. And so it's so exciting to see so many local leaders continue on with the ministry. But as you know, the mission is not done in Romania, and so we want to continue to support what's going on there. The NAB will continue to send missionaries. They're going to continue to send mission teams. And so we ask you to keep considering going to Romania. I know we've talked a little bit about that with Magnolia, is that maybe we can get some of you over there on a mission team. And so there's still a lot of opportunity to continue with ministry in Romania. The third thing I want to say is we always get the question of what's next for Paul and I? What are we doing? It's a great question. If you have answers, please let us know. We're still figuring that out, but we have peace in the midst of that. But we'll stay on with the NAB until the end of January as missionaries and travel around and thank everyone for their support. But it's really been interesting for us in this last season as we've been in Romania and as we've seen young people raised up, as we've seen young people step into ministry positions and seen the fruit that's happening in Romania, our hearts have been burdened for North America and wondering what is happening with this next generation here in the States and in Canada. And we just have this burdening and this passion to come alongside young people here in North America, to come alongside Gen Z and Gen Alpha and encourage them to step into ministry. It's really interesting as you think about Gen Z, as you think about Gen Alpha, they've just grown up in such a different world than what we've all grown up in. You know, the world has changed. There's vastly different worldviews now. There's different philosophies. As we think about young people and what most of them are stepping into, it's STEM careers. It's the tech world that they're stepping into, and we're seeing not as many step into the pastor roles or the missionary roles. When I was hired on by the NAB 11 years ago, I was the youngest missionary on staff with the NAB. And now 11 years later, I'm no longer in my 20s. I'm still the youngest NAB missionary. That burdens our hearts. We need to see this next generation step into places of leadership. And even with all the challenges that are happening right now in our world with young people and the challenges that they're facing, we see that those young people who come to know Christ are on fire, right? They are just gripped for Jesus, for King Jesus. They want to see God's justice come down on this place. They want to live a life of worship of Jesus in that. And so we are so excited about what's happening amongst this next generation in North America. And as I think about all that I've learned on the mission field as a missionary, I really see that it's important to continue on in this missionary kind of mindset on how we come alongside the next generation. Because the culture is so different, I need to come alongside them as a listener, as a learner, in building relationship with that focus of empowering. And so that's really what Paul and I are trying to lean into, is to use this missionary experience to come behind this next generation and raise them up into ministry. So that's the big vision of what we want to step into. We're still figuring out the details in that, and so you can pray for us. But we just see that there's such passion in this next generation for God's kingdom, and we want to see that this next generation is raised up and steward that passion for kingdom ministry. So we want to say thank you. Thank you for all your support. Thank you for your prayers for us. Thanks for your generosity towards the ministry, towards Camp Falcon Rock. This has just been such a beautiful partnership with all of you, and so we appreciate each and every one of you. We love you, and so thank you for allowing us to be here. This morning, we do have a table outside, and so if you want to come connect with us, get prayer cards or get more information about what we've been doing in Romania, we'd love to connect with you. We have a documentary online that's 22 minutes and kind of tells the whole story of what's going on in Romania, so I have little cards outside where you can access that documentary. And then the last thing is we have these cookbooks that we created with a bunch of our local cooks from the villages that we've been working in, and there's recipes from Transylvania. This is good Transylvanian food and soups and desserts and pork. I was chatting with someone this morning who loves pork. There's a lot of good pork recipes in there. And so if you want to buy a cookbook, it's a fundraiser to help sponsor kids going to camp. So come chat with us after, and we'll connect you with that. The last thing I want to read is from Psalm 145, verses 3 to 7. Just a powerful psalm that talks about God's faithfulness, and I just feel is so timely for what we've experienced in Romania. So Psalm 145, verses 3 to 7 says this: "Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commands your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyful singing of your righteousness." I just think in this day and age when we maybe struggle to have hope of what God is doing, and what God's doing in this next generation, what does mission look like? We just want to share the testimony with you is that we see God is on mission, that he is faithful, that he is doing his good works in this world, and that he is raising up this next generation to know Jesus, to love him, to follow him. And so we want to share that with you this morning and say, meditate on that. Meditate on the goodness of what God is doing. Thank you.
There's there's a passage that I want us to look at for a couple minutes this morning to wrap this all up, but that I think fits with where Tanya was just talking about in terms of that call, certainly for the next generation. There's a really important call for this next generation to forsake and to follow. But that's a general call for all of us as believers. And there's this beautiful picture of this in Genesis chapter 12 and the way that Abraham lived out his life. And so I just want to put this before us this morning. So if you have your Bibles, open with me to Genesis chapter 12. It was interesting. So we've been in Romania for 11 years. Tanya and I went to Romania in 2012, I believe it was. So it was a few years before we moved there. And we weren't planning to move there. I was a pastor in Canada. Tanya was a teacher. And we just went on a short-term mission trip. And while we were there, for 2 weeks, Tanya turned to me at one point and said, I think God's calling us to move to Romania. And I turned to Tanya as like a really good husband and pastor and follower of Jesus and said, no, he's not. And we went back to Canada, and I was serving as a pastor, and Tanya was serving as a teacher. And over that year, God continued to speak to my heart about Romania. And that word Romania kept coming up over and over again. And I remember just feeling unease about my life in Canada. And I loved the church that I was serving at. We had just bought a home in Canada. Tanya was just starting her teaching life as a teacher. And so all of those things, there was just so many reasons why it didn't make sense for us to move to Romania. And so anytime the Lord brought this idea of Romania up, I just said, but no. Like, why would we leave our lives in Canada to go to Romania? We have a house, we have a job, we have a church community that we love. Why would we do that? And I remember the Lord kind of speaking to my heart at a deep level to say, you can give me all the practical reasons you want, and I'm well aware of all of them, but I'm calling you to follow me. And I remember that. And there was this moment of it being not a practical issue, but a faith issue, a calling issue, where I actually had to respond to what God was doing. It didn't necessarily make sense in the moment, but God was saying, this is not a practical issue. Put those things aside. This is a faith issue. Are you willing to follow me here? And I remember going to Tanya, you know, 6 months, 8 months, whatever it was, after that conversation in Romania, and I said, Tanya, I think God's calling us to move to Romania. And she said, okay, let's go. And I was like, whoa, that was easy for you. And she's like, you know, I told you this 8 months ago, and as a good husband, I had forgotten that. But God was calling us to Romania, and again, my natural response was just to say no. Now, God calls Abraham in this really significant way in Genesis chapter 12. And he says in verse 1, now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's household. And so he looks at Abraham and he says, the first thing I want you to do is forsake everything. So he says, go from your country. So everything that's familiar to you, your baseball team that you cheer for, the language that you speak, the food that you eat, all of that that's familiar to you, I want you to leave that behind. And then what? Leave your kindred, your people, you know, your small group, your church community, your neighbors. I want you to leave that. And your father's household. I want you to leave your family. And for Abraham, this was even more significant because your father's household was your provision. That's your money. Leave that all behind. And there's this call for us as believers to forsake. And we see that over and over again in Scripture, this call for us to forsake everything. The rich young ruler comes to Jesus and he says, you know, what does it mean for me to be a disciple? What do I do? And he says, leave your money behind and follow me. And that's the example that Christ gives us. This is kind of at the heart of the gospel in Philippians 2 when we read about the example that Jesus lays before us. What does he do? He comes from heaven down to earth to be amongst us. And so this idea of forsaking is very gospel, very kingdom orientated. And so God speaks to Abraham. He says, I want you to forsake that. And then he says, the second thing I want you to do is go to the land that I will show you. Go to the land that I will show you. He's saying, I want you to follow the Lord's leading. Tanya mentioned about Miriam and Thomas and Tunda. There's a young guy by the name of Robbie that we've worked with. Now, Robbie's an interesting story because when we first moved to Romania, Robbie, him and his sister, they weren't connected with our church at all. And Robbie had actually grown up in a really difficult home where his dad had left at a really young age. And his mom was a single mom, and they were impoverished, and she had to work, but that was really challenging for her to support her two kids. And so didn't come from our church, came from a very difficult background. Wonderful mom, wonderful family, but just very difficult situation that they came out of. And Robbie and his sister started to attend our youth group. The first camp that we ever ran at Camp Falcon Rock, Robbie gave his life to the Lord, committed his life to the Lord. It was a beautiful moment. And then out of that, in wanting to support his family, moved to Hungary and moved away from his family to make more money to send money back to support his sister and his mom. Now, what's really interesting with Robbie's story is he as he moved to Hungary, he realized that his faith was really waning. It was really difficult for him to be a believer in another country away from his youth group and away from his community. And so he made this sacrifice to forsake that, come back home to Romania to live in his village, to be connected to youth group again, so that could build into his life spiritually, still continuing to work in Romania, but forsaking that higher wage to be closer to his community. And then in the midst of that, he felt this call to Bible school. And there's a small little Bible school in Romania that he went off to. He went to Bible school, which again was a sacrifice, trying to continue to support his family. And out of that had this call to ministry and has been serving on our team for the last 2 years. And God has been faithful, supporting that family, supporting his family. But it's been interesting to watch this journey in Robbie's life as he followed the Lord and forsake a lot of the world's things to follow what God had for him. And we're seeing the fruit of that in his own life and his own ministry. And now Robbie is leading our summer camp program alongside of Miriam and leading our kids' camps throughout the week. And so he forsook his old life to follow. And that's the call for us, is what does it mean to follow? Where is this land that I will show you? For Tanya and I, that was Romania, and now it's back to Canada. For Abraham, it was a new land. For Robbie, it was actually back to his homeland. And for us, what does that look like? What does it look like for us to follow? Now, this is the thing I want to challenge us with. When we think of this idea of following, following is rooted in devotion. It's not a matter of, will I follow someone? The question for us is, what am I following? And we're always devoted to somebody. It may not always be the right thing. When I was in seminary, I had a seminary professor who I loved, and I just admired him. I loved just the way he had his family. He was brilliant. He spoke Hebrew fluently. He was athletic. I was like, man, I want to be like him one day. And so I just always tried to be in his presence. I always tried to go up to him and chat with him just because I was like, if I'm around him, then maybe I'll kind of become like him. And one day I'm chatting with him and he's telling me that he's an avid swimmer. And he turns to me, he's like, do you like swimming? And I was like, oh, I love swimming. I hated swimming. And he's like, oh, I go every morning at 6 a.m. Do you love early mornings? I was like, I love waking up early. I hate waking up early. And he's like, okay, I'll pick you up at 6 a.m. We're going swimming. I was like, perfect. I can't wait. He's like, I'm going to make coffee. Do you want coffee? I was like, I love coffee. I hated coffee. I love coffee now. I still hate swimming and I hate early mornings. I love coffee now. And I think it's because of that experience, every morning drinking coffee with him. But every morning I would go swimming with him at 6 a.m. Because there's this level of, if I want to be like him, I need to be in his presence. There's this level of devotion to him. Now, I'm not calling us to be devoted to our seminary professors. Jesus Christ is the one we ought to be devoted to, but there's this calling for us to be devoted to somebody, and it's Christ, and it's following him, and it's following the things that he has for us. And the question we need to ask ourselves when we think about who we're devoted to is, are what we're devoted to, or who we're devoted to, are they reliable? Is what we're devoted to reliable? Like if it's someone in your life, if it's your job, even if it's your family, even if it's somebody else, is that reliable? And if you lose that, what happens? You know, I think one thing that we've seen in Romania over and over and over again is that we cannot deny the power of God. Like God has been reliable over and over and over again. When we moved to Romania and we had that barren land, he had to be reliable for the permits to build buildings, which is really difficult in Romania. He had to be reliable for all the money that we had to raise, which is really difficult, again, in Romania. He had to be reliable for all the staff that would come on staff. Over and over again, we saw God as a reliable God. And we have so many stories where we just cannot deny the power of God. One beautiful story, but there's so many more, and I just don't have time to share them. But one beautiful story that kind of speaks to this is when we were building the camp, there was one piece of land that we always wanted. It was attached to our property. But we just never had the money for it. And the neighbor never wanted to sell it to us. And that was fine. He was farming it. But we never wanted him to sell it to anyone else because it really belongs to us. It's on our property. And so we went to him in the early days and said, hey, can we buy this land from you? He said, no, I want to keep farming it. And then he said, I'll sell it to you for $30,000, which that number seemed too high. And he was just kind of throwing that out there. And we said, okay, when you actually are serious about this, come back and chat with us. 7, 8 years later, he comes back. He says, okay, I'm ready to sell the land. And again, he had it at $30,000 8 years before that. Land prices have gotten way up, skyrocketed since that time. So we're thinking, oh, what's he going to sell it to us now for? And he said, I've seen what you guys have done at the camp property. I see all the kids on the camp property. And in our minds, we're like, uh-oh, maybe that's not a good thing. You know, thousands of kids running through here and on his property. And he's like, and I love it. And I see the way it's transforming our village and all that's taking place. I'll sell you the land and I want you to have it for that same price I said 8 years ago. And we said, praise the Lord for that. But we still didn't have $30,000. And we were building our main lodge and all of our money was going there. And so we had a meeting together with all the leaders to say, what should we do? Should we purchase this land? And I was actually a little worried because I thought, where on earth are we going to get $30,000 for this piece of land? And the leadership team said, we have to. We just have to go in faith. God's been faithful over and over and over again. And he's leading us to step out in faith again. And so we said yes to it. And so that week, somebody called me from North America and they said, hey, what are all the projects you're working on? So I'm talking about the main lodge and the cabins and everything. And I get to the end of the conversation and said, oh, this week the camp leadership just decided to buy this piece of land for $30,000. And he said, okay. He said, you know, it's really interesting. He said, I just sold a piece of land in North America and I want to tithe off that to Camp Falcon Rock and it's $30,000. And he said, so I'll buy that land for you. I mean, that's just God. And he was faithful and he was reliable. And that's the question for us is what we're following actually reliable. Now, this is where I want us to end because God calls Abraham to leave everything behind. He calls him to follow him to the land that I will show you. And that's the call for us. Are we following God to where he's showing us? And then lastly, he says in verse 2, and I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. Verse 3, I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in all the families of the earth shall be blessed. He's saying everyone will be blessed through you, Abraham, because of your sacrifice to forsake, because of your sacrifice to follow me. Everyone on earth will be blessed through you. Here's the question for us. In what way is the world blessed through Abraham? Do we know the answer to that? Jesus. You guys know the answer to that. And the answer actually comes in a genealogy. I know we all wake up every morning and be like, I got to read a good genealogy this morning, right? Like, that's how we love our Devo time in the morning. But Matthew, the genealogy at the beginning of Matthew, it starts with who? Abraham. Who does it end with? Jesus. Through Abraham's line comes Jesus. Jesus is the blessing to the nations. Through Abraham comes Jesus. And that's the call for us as believers, as we are reconciled to Christ, as we have this relationship with Jesus, what happens? Not only are we saved, but we now have Christ that we bring to the nations. There's this calling for us to bring Christ to our families, to our friends, to our neighbors, and to the nations. There's this beautiful passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 where Paul talks about us being reconciled to Christ. And he says, you've been reconciled to Christ. Now, you'd think the chapter would end there. And it feels like it should end there, but it doesn't. And what does he say? Now go be messengers of reconciliation. Since you've been reconciled to Christ, now that you know Jesus as your Savior, take that and go be messengers of this good news of Jesus Christ. And I think that's the beautiful thing, and this is all by God's glory, this is all by God's work, that we've seen in Romania. Tanya talked about those youth, those young adults that we've worked with. And we just saw over walking with them for 11 years how God saved them and redeemed them and took them out of their old lives. And we've seen this at the camp. Just so many young people come to the camp, been saved and redeemed. What's beautiful is it doesn't just end there. I think the real fruit that we're seeing is them going back into their villages. Even in our own context, in our own villages, who's leading children's church now in our church in Romania? It's the young adults. It's those youth who have been impacted by camp. Who's leading the kids ministry throughout the week? It's Miriam and Robbie, those leaders. Who's doing youth ministry? It's all of those young people. Who they're going now to their neighboring villages. There's this poor gypsy village or Roma village close to us. They go with the van, pick up these kids, bring them back and run kids ministry with them. They're running the summer VBS ministry. They're the camp leaders. They recognized what Christ had done in their lives over all those years. And they realized, now I need to go out and do the same thing and bring Christ to my neighbors and Christ to my nation. and they're the ones serving at Camp Falcon Rock. And that's the call. That's the call for us. My time's coming to an end, but let me just finish with this last story as an illustration. When I was young, growing up in Canada, the best thing about summer for me was when the ice cream truck came through my neighborhood. You know, and I'm assuming you guys have ice cream trucks in Anaheim. And the ice cream truck would come, and so you'd be sitting on the couch playing Nintendo, whatever you're doing in the summer inside. And all of a sudden, you'd hear the music of the ice cream truck. And you're like, oh, it's time to get money from my mom's purse and go buy ice cream. And so you'd go to your mom's purse, take out money, run out, and you'd hear the sound. And you'd get to the neighborhood, and you'd see it. Not the ice cream truck, but you'd see kids eating ice cream. And you'd go up to those kids so calmly and quietly, and you'd be like, where's the ice cream truck? And they'd be like, oh, I went that way. And then you'd run that way, and you'd get to the next sort of cul-de-sac neighborhood area, street, and you'd see those kids with ice cream, and you'd go up so calmly and quietly and be like, where's the ice cream truck? And they'd be like, it's that way. And then you'd get there, and you'd find the ice cream truck, and you'd buy ice cream, and it was the best part of summer. And imagine, you know, going up to those first kids and being like, where's the ice cream truck? And they look at you and be like, I'm not going to tell you. Like, I have my ice cream. That's all that matters. Like, who cares if you get your ice cream? They'd never do that. Like, of course they're going to tell you where the ice cream truck went. They might even come with you and get more ice cream. But that's it for us in our faith journey. When we meet Christ and we're redeemed by him and we're saved by him and we're transformed by him, it should just so naturally come out of us in our interaction with others, in our interaction with our neighbors, in our interaction with those around the world, that our desire is to share the good news of Jesus Christ to the nations. And so thank you for partnering with us in that. And I pray that all of us would continue on with that. And Tanya and I just so dearly pray for that for the next generation. That they would be redeemed, they would know Jesus as their Savior, and they would be those sharing where the ice cream truck is as Christ has saved them. I'm going to pray and invite the worship team to come up. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank you for this morning, and we thank you for the work that you do in our lives, the way that you're redeeming us, the way that you're saving us. Lord, the example that you gave to come down to earth. Lord, the example that Abraham has to forsake his old life and follow you, Lord. And I pray that we would be those that do the same, no matter how old we are. Lord, I pray for the youth in this church, Lord, that they would hear that calling to follow you, no matter what that means, no matter where you're calling them to. Maybe that's a different country, maybe that's a different education stream, but Lord, would they be sensitive to the calling that you have on their lives? Lord, for all of us, would we continue to seek out ways of bringing you, Jesus, to be the blessing to the nations? Lord, I thank you for Magnolia and the blessing they've been to Tanya and I, the blessing they've been to Thomas and Tunda, the blessing they've been to Camp Falcon Rock and the ministry in Romania, Lord. And we look forward to the many years ahead of being able to serve together. We pray this in your name. Amen.